the book of Genesis, and we're at chapter 32, and it's the story of Jacob coming back home again. He had to run away because of misbehavior, and now the prodigal is returning. And just for the sake of time, we are commencing at verse 24. Book of Genesis, chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And that's a mighty statement. Because you're going to find in the next bit of the chapter that he was left alone with God. And let me say to you, it's a great thing to be alone with God. And I'm very sure that this is the most important part of life, getting alone with God. And I want to ask you, do you get alone with God? Have to go in sometimes and shut the door and be alone with God. Shut the door on the family and shut the door on the business. Shut the door on the world and legitimate things, all right. Do you get alone with God? Because things happen when you get alone with God. You know, Mary of Bethany just left the dishes for a minute or two and got alone with the Lord. Sat at his feet. Heard his word. Just listen. Didn't do anything. Not reading or praying or even studying. Just sat there and listened. Do you ever get alone with God to listen? Yes, Jacob was alone all night with God. Mary was alone in the middle of the day with the Lord. Mary Magdalene was alone early in the morning while it was yet dark. What do you know about it? You get alone with God. It's important, you know. Very important. And when the bride in the Song of Solomon was alone with the lover, she began to sing. Yes, thou art altogether lovely. Oh, I could linger here, and I don't need to linger here, and I should linger here, and all that. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, that is God said, because it was God that was wrestling, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Jacob knew who he was wrestling with, mind you. And though he was Jacob, and though he was terrible, and though he was awful, and though he did 1,000 things he should never have done, and he leaned all his life on his own understanding, yet when he got a hold of God, he held on. Said, I will not let thee go. And any one of us Jacobs could do it this morning. I remember when I gave Bible readings on Jacob here, that Harry Holden said to me, I've never seen anybody in the Scripture so like me as him. And I would have to stand beside him and say, so like me too. And there's a whole lot of you would need to nod your head. Because we're all sort of Jacobs. That's if you know yourself at all. Of course, if you fool yourself, you think you are something. But we're sort of Jacobs. And here he is holding on to God. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, that is God said unto him, what is thy name? Looking into his face, you know, he had crippled him, and now he's bending him back, and he says, what is thy name? Listen to what he said. And he said, because you know, if you're going to get blessed at all when you're alone with God, you'll need to confess who you are. And there's no use of pretending with God that you're somebody when you know right well you're not. It's easy to burst out in prayer and pretend to be what you're not, you know, but you're not bluffing God at all. The only way you'll get blessing is to be honest with God. He looked into God's face and he's not able to wrestle anymore now. He's crippled. He's just hanging on. Oh, but if you can hang on and confess honestly, you could be blessed, you know. He said, Jacob, verse 28, and he said, that is, God said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Oh, God is changing his name. This is where his name was changed, and Israel ends with E-L. And a word that ends with E-L means God, something about God. And the word Israel means you're a prince with God. Fancy getting blessed so much that Jacob becomes a prince with God. Yes. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. That was the place of blessing for Jacob. The place where he was crippled. The place where he confessed. The place where he honestly sought the blessing of the Lord. Now I'm just taking this text as a sort of springboard. And he blessed him there. Now what I want to talk to you about this morning, I want to talk to you about the blessing of God. That's really bigger than you and I think. And as we look at the blessing of God, I want to bring before you some surprising things about the blessing of God. I want to say what it is, and then I want to say what it is not, and then I want to say how you can really enjoy it. That's very interesting. You know, when we talk about the blessing of God, what do we mean? Always good to ask that sort of question. What do we mean? What are we talking about? Well, this word blessing, or this word blessed, it's an old Hebrew word. It's the word Asher, the tribe Asher. It means happy, first of all. That's the main translation. It's not the full translation, but it's the main one. You see, way back in Psalm 144, and I don't want to waste the time, it says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. You see, this word means happy. You'll find that right through the Psalms, this word blessed is there. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Yes, you know, when you really know that your sins are gone, then there's a sort of happiness in your heart. You see, I find a whole lot of people depressed and oppressed and downcast. An old lady came saying, I'm walking the room for months. Just because she doesn't know the forgiveness of sins. And if you think there's some sin that you've committed that's still hanging on your shoulders, how could you be happy? But if you get round to the truth where your sins are gone, and I mean every one of them, then blessed is he whose transgression. You see, when you come to think about the blessing of God, what is the blessing of God? It is God making man happy, first of all. God wants to make you happy. Well, you would know that God didn't want to make you sad, wouldn't you? Wants to make you happy. You know, when you come to the first psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Because if you're going to get the blessing of God, I'll tell you this, it's not going into a wee room and closing your eyes and saying you've got the second blessing and continuing with the old sects that are going wrong. I will surprise you when I say if he's going to bless you, he will separate you. Don't talk to me about getting the blessing of God and continuing with the world. Or continuing with error either. Don't talk to me about that. This ecumenical movement that Coggan is at the head of, that's leading to the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope being over everything, I've neither time nor patience with it. It's from hell and God will curse it. And so will I. And don't tell me that you're blessed when you're stuck in it. Oh, yes, I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he tries to tell me he's sort of holy and happy and he's nice. And I just pointed out where he was. And he says, I know all about that. But God doesn't talk to me. God's telling me to stay in it. I'll tell you what he is. He's a Roman Catholic, and he's trying to tell me he's saved and stuck in the chapel. He says, but God is telling me to stay there. Is he? He must have changed his mind. Let's get the book out till we see. And I only read a few verses, you know, and upset his apple cart for him. Because the book that I read out of was saying this, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Is that telling you to stay in? This book says to the believer, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. And if you think Rome's a clean thing, you know nothing about it. Let me tell you, it's stained with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. And it burned, yea, thousands and thousands of real saints. Oh, don't start me on that end. You need to get out of that. This is what the book says. Where there's a form of godliness and they deny the power, I'll tell you what the book says, from such turn away. How could God be saying stay in when he's telling you to get out? That's not blessing. That's being foxed and fooled. I don't even know whether he's saved. I'll tell you this, you know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, if you get blessed, he'll separate you from a lot of things. That surprises folk, you know. Now, that's the blessing of God. You know, I'll tell you this, if you really get blessed, the blessing of God, you know, he'll make you love this book. Because you'll meditate. Blessed is the man. And his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates in God's word day and night. Do you ever know the boys that meditate day and night? Man, if I was to ask this meeting to stand up all the boys that turn these pages at night, I'd cut you down to size. And mind you, I know one or two who do. And I'll tell you this. If you're blessed of God, You'll turn my pages. Yes, and I'll tell you what's more. You know, the man that's blessed of God, he's not only happy, and I'll tell you, he's not only separated, and he's not only delighting in the law of the Lord, I'll tell you, God will make him to prosper. That's the bit that counts, you know, because this is the blessing of God. Makes you to prosper. You know, there's more to it than this, you know, because when it saith in the book of Proverbs, the liberal soul shall be made fat. The word fat is the word asher. You see, it's got another sense. I know that happiness is there, and this separation, and this prosperity. But you know, God wants to make man a fool of himself. This fatness, you know, it's fullness. That's what that is. You see, God wants to fill your life with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Ah, yes, you know, there's a fullness about it. Not only a happiness and a separatedness and a prosperity, but a fullness. You know, there's another word in the Hebrew language, and it's Makarios. You remember Archbishop Makarios in Cyprus? I don't know whether that was his name or not, but that's the word blessed. Or whether he accepted this or made it his name, I don't know. But he was the Archbishop of Blessedness. That's what he was pretending to be. But I think if you looked and talked to some of the Turk Cypriots, they'd tell you another side of him. And it's like all these old priests, there's always another side. But the word Makarios means length and long. Because God doesn't only want to make you happy. And God doesn't only want to make you full. God wants to make you happy and full for a long time to come. In fact, it wants to be eternal. Have you got the whole of that now? Because we're just talking about what the blessing of God is. Must get that clear. Ah, there's another problem about the blessing of God, and that old clock is going to beat me. I can see that now before I go very far. You see, this is what some people don't know. That the blessing of God in the dispensations before the law was different than the blessing of God under the law. And the blessing of God under grace and the blessing of God in the millennial kingdom are all different. That's where some of the boys who don't know anything about dispensations get lost. And they talk tripe at times. Let me try to do that quickly for you, and maybe you'll get a wee bit of it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, this is God blessing Abram before the law ever came. You remember that the law was given by Moses, of course. So we're away in the dispensation before the law. And this man, Abram, lived away out at Ur of the Chaldees in Mesopotamia, and if you like, he lived in Babylon. And if you want to trace the whole history, he was an idolater out there. Just get it all right at once. And suddenly God comes and elects him. Just picked him out of the whole world of men. You just leave your country and your kindred and your father's house and go to a land that I will show thee and I will bless thee. I'll make you happy. Never changes its sense. It can't change its sense. I will make you happy and I'll forgive your sins and I'll separate you out. And I'll make you look at other things that are more important, a city that has foundations. And I'll give you a blessing that will last on into eternity. Now, that's God before the law, bringing this man up. Now, he was just going to make a great nation of him. That's all. And you see, he was going to bring from that nation the Christ of God, because it was out of Abraham's loins that God determined that he would eventually bring Christ, and through Christ all the families of the earth would be blessed. But let's get that now. Because there is no use of you going back there and trying to claim this. Because this is outside of you. He has no notion of making another nation out of anybody. That's just over. So just leave it alone and don't be galloping back there and trying to preach at me from that. Because that's gone. And then there came the day when the law came and Moses came down the mount with the tables of stone. And that was just the moral law, you know. 10 commandments, thou shalt not, and so on. But God also gave to Moses the ceremonial law. That is the law of the offerings. And these offerings, well, they were just the shadows. They just outlined in a shadowy form the mighty work that Christ would do at Calvary. But with the moral law and the ceremonial law came the civil law for the nation. And you should read those at times. And when these offerings were brought at the appointed times, and these commandments were desired to be kept, and man found out he couldn't keep them, because the law was just teaching him he needed a Savior, and he was finding the shadow of a Savior in the offerings. Now, while he kept to that role, God blessed him. Oh, but you know that Israel just tramped the commandments under their feet and got away from God. And the offerings were set aside. And the social and civil laws that God had given, they were trampled upon, and Israel got away from God, and God had to curse them instead of bless them. Now, let me bring you along to Malachi just for a moment. It's the last book in the Old Testament. So it is. Last book in the Old Testament. And this is what God's got to say to them away at the end of the book. After years and years of them going away from God and returning and being restored and all the rest of it. Verse 7. Even from the days, chapter 3, Malachi 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. but ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? That's the question. Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is, in tithes and offerings. Because connected with the law were these tithes and offerings, and they had really broken down this whole thing. Verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse. So he changed. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Oh, let's get the hold of that now, because I hear this preached upside down at times. Because I want to tell you that that applies, and only applies, to the Jewish, and applied to the Jewish nation. And that's all over now. Because God has set them aside. And you can't work this into the church, you know. Oh, not at all. Not for a moment. You see, that's the law and the blessing that would come if they would dare to try to even keep it. So you see, the blessing in the dispensation before the law and the blessings under the law were quite different. Now let me show you the blessings of the kingdom before we come to the blessings of grace. And I'll take a moment to do the blessings of grace. It's come to our Lord Jesus speaking in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, and we're at the 5th chapter. Verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, and it goes on, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which hunger and thirst. And there are quite a lot of blessings there. Well, I'm going to shock you when I tell you that these are the blessings of God to the people of God in the kingdom of God on earth when the millennial is there. That's just different. And I think we go round about it a wrong way these days, but I'll prove this in a moment. You see, if you go down the chapter, he says this. Verse 20, he's talking to these people to whom he's been talking. He says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, would you like to tell me after the meeting this morning that it's your righteousness that's going to get you into God's kingdom? I'm afraid you wouldn't. Now, I don't want to waste any more time dealing with the blessings of the kingdom, but these can all be outlined quite easily, and then you would see them in all their clarity. But let's come to the blessing of God in the age of grace today. Let's come to Ephesians for a moment. And in this great letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1... Paul is writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's making sure that they're all embraced, the saints, the faithful. And he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let me tell you, dear, you see, you don't have to leave here and go to some other land. No, you don't have to try to keep the law or pay tithes. Nor you don't have to have a righteousness of your own to get the blessing of God in the age of grace. I want to tell you that grace gives. And already this morning, aye, and for a long time before this, God hath blessed you with all spiritual blessings. And you don't need to creep into a corner and try to get the feeling of something. Not a bit of it. They're all there for you in Christ just now. They're yours. But you'll have to go in and get them by faith, won't you? You see, grace is a wonderful thing, the grace of God. You see, the grace of God standing on the righteous foundation that Christ laid when it saith Christ died for the ungodly. God stands on that foundation and grace is offering out to the whole world. Look, please don't try to limit grace. I don't know how you could limit grace. If there are any limitations on grace, then it is not grace. You can't tell me that the grace of God is just for some folk. That wouldn't be grace at all. I don't know what it would be, but it wouldn't be grace. The grace of God is bringing salvation to all men. And anybody can get saved who's willing to be saved. Don't limit grace, because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But you see, the grace that offered salvation, and you have accepted it, why, that same grace hath blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Do you need wisdom? You'll get it in Christ. Do you need power, young preacher? Oh, well, there's plenty of it in Christ. You should be strong in the power that's in Christ Jesus, because that's the word that's there. Look, there isn't anything you're going to need. It's not there. I want you to get the hold of this. You know, somebody says, you know, God blessed me last Sunday. That's right. Because he led you into something maybe you had never seen before. Gentleman in the meeting said the other Sunday when I preached on "My times are in thy hand," he said to me, you know, God really blessed me that morning. I'll never forget it. He said, look, I have written on the Bible, and I'll remember that until my dying day. I got a great blessing. You see, he was led into the truth that every iota of life, your home, your family, your business, your health, all everything and every item of life, it's under the control of God, you know. Yes, we need to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. When Joseph is being sold down into Egypt, Joseph can't see this. Oh, but God could see it. No mask on God's eyes. God knew what was happening. This is the way for you. Oh, there was no problem there. And then when Jacob was there and the whole thing had worked out and he became the savior of the nation, then he could look at his brethren and say, it was not you that sent me, it was God. And when this man was led into seeing the sovereignty of God over every item and iota of life, then he was blessed. Oh, but that's just one of the wee things that's in the blessing of God. That's not the whole blessing of God. It's just one of the wee things. Look, everything that God wants to give us to make us happy, to make us separate, to give us a lasting blessing. Let me say it again. It's in Christ now. It's not, it will be. I have. God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You just need to go in to get it. You can get peace. You can get love. You can get joy. There isn't anything you're going to need on the way home that's not there. It's there now in all its fullness. The blessing of God is yours. You'll need to go in and get it. May God help us to do so, for His name's sake.